Brought to you by
the Good Feet Store and All Pro Foundation Repair.
All right, here we go. Dave,
thank you. And because it's Thursday, we need to praise Queefus and join Gordon Keith from a remote location.
Yes, I'm here.
Looky there.
Right out of the bathroom.
I'm here and I'm ready to hang out with my buddies. Hold on, let me turn on this thing. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right. What are you turning on?
I was turning on a bit of audio processing.
It's toilet.
You sounded exactly the same after you did it.
I know it. I think that's somehow only in my ears does it change.
Mm. Well, to start off today, I wanted to give a shout out to your friend, Gordon, and ours, good P1, who's probably listening from upstate New York, Rhett Miller. As he just announced his 10th solo album.
How about that?
It is going to be produced by his bandmate, or was produced by his bandmate, Murray Hammond. It's due out October 10th. It is entitled A Lifetime of Riding by Night.
That isn't Murray from Flight of the Conchords, right?
No.
No.
Different Murray.
Murray Hammond is the longtime bass player from the old 97s.
That's Murray.
Murray's got the key.
And there's also collaborations from Turnpike Troubadour's frontman, Evan Felker.
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 There's an N. Is it silent?
It's Felker.
I've always heard it pronounced Evan Felker.
Okay. Well, maybe they...
But I may be wrong.
Maybe they misspelled it in the story.
I believe they did.
But he co-wrote four of the songs, including the first single, Come As You Are, which the Troubadours first recorded in 2016. And then I guess, Rhett loved it so much, he decided to record his own version. And
earlier covered by Nirvana.
Well, not different, really.
Different song. But, I guess because he's such a super fan, he got an advanced copy. Stephen King has already tweeted about this. He says, Rhett Miller's solo LP, A Lifetime of Riding by Night, is really good. Miller leads the old 97s. He's in good voice with this one. The leadoff single is Come As You Are with the Turnpike Troubadours. So Rhett has a super fan in Stephen King. And
he does.
It's good to know that Rhett, because the last time we talked to him, I think, was right before he was going to have his vocal cord surgery, was it not?
True, yeah.
Yeah, that's when he recorded this album.
Yeah, so he finished recording the album just before he went into surgery to remove this vocal cord cyst back in December of last year. And so evidently the surgery was a success, and he says that he's regained part of his vocal range that had been hampered by the cyst. And so the album again comes out October 10th, and then he will play solo shows here in town September 12th at Texas Live before the album comes out, and then November 9th at the Granada after it comes out.
Texas Live, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
That's
good,
awesome.
Good on you, Rhett.
Good on you indeed, yes. Man. That video is really cool, too, that they put out.
Corby said you were done, but we knew you weren't.
Well, I don't know if I did.
All right, Superman news. Now, this is not the current Superman, David Cornsweat, right? This is Dean Cain from Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, the TV show from the 90s, uh-oh, right?
Yep.
So he was on Fox News' Jesse Waters primetime.
Oh, man. That dude's wild.
And he told Waters... He says, I put out a recruitment video yesterday. I'm actually a sworn deputy sheriff and a reserve police officer. I wasn't part of ICE, but once I put that out there, it went crazy that he was interested in joining ICE. And so he says, now I've spoken with some officials over at ICE, and I will be sworn in as an ICE agent ASAP. And when asked what motivated him to join, he said that America is a country built on patriots stepping up, whether it's popular or not, and that joining ICE is the right thing to do.
Wait, so anyone can just join ICE?
Yeah.
Like, I could just walk down to the ICE Employment Center and
the arena. they call it.
Take a job? I don't understand. I guess.
Bobby Davidson, the ticket.
What about ISIS?
A little different.
I mean, that's on the other side of the spectrum.
A little different.
Or
you just have to make
somewhere.
Sure you walk in the right door, though. They're right next to each other.
Right. Yeah, super, they're in alphabetical order in the recruitment building.
So also, Dean Cain is 50, what? 55? Probably something like that.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. 56 and gorgeous.
And there's no, and we need our ICE agents to be in their mid-50s.
I look, 59.
59?
Fine.
A lot
he's
of questions.
But he's Superman. He's a little puffy-faced, but I mean, he looks like he can handle a little bit of physical work.
I don't know how to tell you this, Ham. I don't think he has superpowers. I know.
Don't ruin it for Ham.
I know.
He's about to cry now. What are you doing?
Oh no.
Superheroes aren't real, Ham.
Is he moving?
He's all right. He's okay.
He'll be fine. Yeah.
Somebody kick him.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another high-profile recruit that they have to drive more enrollment.
I think we should get 70-year-olds to be ICE agents.
Speaking of ICE, so I reported yesterday that the second episode of South Park Season 27 featured Mr. Garrison joining ICE. It was, in fact, Mr. Mackey. I was incorrect.
Okay.
Mr. Mackey is the counselor at South Park Elementary, but he is, as part of budget cuts, they decide that counselors are no longer necessary. And so Mr. Mackey goes to the bank, and his nut, like his monthly expenses, are $8,000. And so his banker suggests that he join ICE because he can easily make his nut by working for ICE.
Stop saying that.
So and, gleefully.
Yeah. And so Mr. Mackey then, he's the one who's always, okay. And so he reluctant.
Hand puppets?
That's Mr. Garrison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had them confused.
Is it PC Principal?
Well, yeah, now he's Power Christian Principal.
Yeah, I think he is.
But, Mr. Mackey reluctantly joins ICE, but then he is identified as a great recruit by Kristi Noem, the Department of Homeland Security director. And the recurring theme with Kristi Noem is she keeps on shooting dogs. Like anytime
why?
She sees a dog, well, because she put
she
down,
oh,
she
yeah,
put down
right.
her
that's
dog
right.
because
right.
it was disobedient.
So she just keeps shooting dogs.
Yeah,
on
whenever
South Park.
She sees a dog, she pulls out her gun and blows it the hell away. And then you'll enjoy this. You'll enjoy this, Gordon. The other recurring bit with the South Park Kristi Noem is that her face keeps melting off and tries to skitter across the floor.
Yes, I'm all for skittering humor.
Yeah.
All right. So right here on the ICE. Twitter account, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. No age cap. $50,000 signing bonus.
Yeah.
Defending the homeland. What are you waiting for, they say.
That's great.
Answer the call to serve at ICE.
So $50,000, like, do you have a service requirement? Or as soon as you sign up, they put $50,000 in your bank account?
That's unbelievable.
I'll do it.
What about former military like Lando? Would he get even more?
Perhaps.
Military burnout, Devin Landrum.
Like he knows a lot.
His special operations training.
I think this is a Picks forces. With Friends payoff.
To join ICE.
To join ICE.
But we keep the money.
Of course.
Yeah. The signing bonus goes to the winners. $10,000 each.
Or the board op.
Or the board op.
Yes. Yes.
So... South Park, of course, they've been battling their parent company, Paramount. Well, today, officially, the merger between Skydance Media and Paramount Global has closed, an $8 billion merger. So David Ellison, he is the CEO of Skydance Media. He announced this, and he is now going to be Paramount chairman and CEO. And so his statement, he says, moving forward, we will work with conviction and optimism to transform Paramount into a tech-forward company that blends the creative heart of Hollywood with the innovative spirit of Silicon Valley.
Mm. All right.
And they also announced...
Closed. All right, then.
They also announced his payment package. So David Ellison, as CEO of Paramount, His base salary will be $3.5 million, as will Paramount president Jeff Shell, and they each will be entitled to an annual bonus of $1.5 million. And also part of Ellison's compensation, he will have company-paid personal security services, because CEOs, after Luigi, they now need personal security.
Speaking of Luigi, did you guys see who...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave Franco, he has not been approached officially, but everybody wants him to play Luigi because there's such a resemblance.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm open to it.
Right. If you find find me a good script and a good director, I'll definitely play him. And you get to get in all like really good shape.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you have to have abs and stuff.
Yeah, it's weird that Luigi was in such good shape, but he was in such ill health. Like, he had all those back problems and stuff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's why he was so mad at the healthcare CEO.
Wasn't he your prison bae, Corby? You loved Luigi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I could have one, like, he was on my list. If I could have one prison guy.
One free. Your dream was just to be separated by a wall of bars and y'all just migs each other back and forth all afternoon.
Here, you take this and you take that.
What a weird
all day migsing.
It's just kid stuff.
Name of an album. That was Rhett's first album title.
Yeah, back when he was at St. Mark's.
Yeah.
Guys, can y'all stop with the migsing all day over there?
I don't want to have to power wash your cells every day.
I mean, my God, how much energy do you two have?
Brooke Hogan, the estranged daughter of Hulk Hogan.
Why is she estranged?
Well,
estranged from him?
Well,
okay.
Yeah, towards the end of his life, they had broken off their relationship. She didn't have anything to do with her dad. And as a matter of fact, she didn't even go to his funeral.
Oh, dear.
But she says that she is offering to pay out of her own pocket for an autopsy of Hulk, saying that she believes there's still speculation and uncertainty surrounding his death.
Damn Hulk Hogan. Why does she care if she didn't even show up?
I don't know, but she put out on Instagram, she says, I'm glad to see that my dad has not been cremated and that Sky, his wife, that Sky is waiting because of family questions. With all of the speculation and uncertainty of my dad's death, I want to personally offer to pay for an autopsy if that's what it takes to get it done. My dad's dignity and legacy deserves it.
So she thinks something nefarious went on?
Yeah, well, she went on the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show.
Wait a minute. Wait. That's the guy that Hulk Hogan was in the corner, right, Gordon?
Yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge was in another room watching on closed circuit television while Hulk Hogan made sweet love to Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
And the daughter went on his show?
They were best friends under the bridge.
Friends of the family.
It's Migs between the bars.
Was Phil Costa involved at all?
Yeah, wasn't
did he
Brooke involved
in
with Phil Costa? Yeah,
they were engaged, yes.
And they broke it off?
And,
I believe.
And Brooke Hogan, wasn't that the daughter that Hulk Hogan used to rub lotion on all the time?
God.
And then it came out that he had a black baby.
We don't know that, Hammer.
Well, she on the Bubba the Love Sponge show said she had qualms with the investigation of her dad's passing and that there are aspects of his death that she finds fishy.
Again,
Gordon, yes. Didn't you guys almost name your show that?
What?
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show?
No.
And it was already
Bubba the, Love Sponge Show, the podcast?
Yes.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show, the podcast. Okay, I still am really confused. If she doesn't give a rip about her dad by being estranged, as we've already established, and then not showing up to the funeral, why is she now invested in this?
And I don't understand what the uncertainty is.
Conspiracy theories are good.
For what?
Well, so the medical
engagement. She's got an Instagram.
The medical examiner
need more boobs.
Says that he died of a heart attack, and a spokesperson for the Clearwater Police Department said there were no signs of foul play or anything suspicious about his death.
I mean, the dude did roids for like 60 straight years.
Vex?
Oh, yeah, it's
that
probably
might
the Vex.
Yeah. They want to look for...
You got a little boosty-woosty.
They want to look for the microchip in his blood.
You got your third booster, didn't you? Enjoy your heart exploding.
All right,
Dave, that's good stuff. In 3 minutes, let's come back. Let's do the rant revival where we have an unfortunate death locally.
The Ticket.
It is 519. It is the Rant Revival. It's a Thursday featuring the three amigos of the rants, Corby Davidson, Gen X Davey Lane, and of course, the one and the only...
Yeah!
I know I make it look easy. It's not that easy, guys.
Sponsored by
Eats East Market and Bakery.
So, we had an unfortunate death in the world of Dallas. I don't want to say socialites, but a guy that at least was known in some circles.
In the business and real estate circles. Primarily, I believe.
He was being couched as a millionaire that sold million-dollar ranches.
In downtown Dallas. And drilled oil wells by the ton.
And I don't know why...
What?
I don't know why that they would refer to him as millionaire ranch trader.
I'm shaking over here, but I'm going to stand down.
Wouldn't you just say...
Something about cuties in his Cadillac?
Real estate agent that... dealt in ranches instead of millionaire ranch trader.
Well, don't get caught up on that. But his name was Asher Watkins, 52-year-old guy from the Watkins Ranch Group.
Yeah, and apparently he was out on a safari, Gordon, and we're certainly glad that we have you here. As he was in South Africa, and he was...
Like such as?
A professional hunter of the nth degree. And he was on the track of apparently something with the nickname Black Death. That is what Cape Buffaloes in South Africa are known as. And the Cape Buffalo, as he was hunting it, somehow turned on him and charged and killed him instantly, gored him.
Yes, I'm here.
At the age of 52.
No, gored him, not gored in.
My apologies.
That's so cheap. But yes, gored him and he was dead instantly. The Cape Buffalo, the Black Death, they kill 200 people in Africa a year. They are known to kill more game hunters than any other animal, including elephants, lions, rhinos, or crocodiles.
Yay. So,
I figured hippos killed more people.
I did too.
Well, this is what they say on the website of the safari company that he was with on this expedition. No species on the planet has a more fearsome reputation than a Cape buffalo, responsible for several deaths and many injuries to hunters each year. The buffalo is regarded as the most dangerous animal to pursue in Africa. Buffalo hunting is thrilling and exhilarating and at the top of every hunter's wish list. Crafty and belligerent, he seeks refuge in thickets when wounded or when danger approaches. Buffalo are known to charge unprovoked, so prepare for the worst.
What?
Buffalo have earned their reputation and can absorb astounding amounts of lead. Even when shots are well placed and a charging buffalo comes at an alarming speed, cool nerves and a steady hand are crucial.
So this is on their website prior to
this is I guess in their sales materials for their expeditions, and so they are I guess a prize trophy, but they are unpredictable and aggressive. They weigh 1.5 tons, and their only predators are humans and lions.
Damn, and they've got the photos that you're seeing. Like, look at this, Bob. This is what a Cape buffalo looks like. It's
got the hair parted down the middle, like
Howard. Like I used to.
They don't have a bun in the back,
but their horns are curved, and it looks like the male. They're curved to a point where it looks like it would almost be hard to be gored. Like they kind of curve all the way. But the females, they're pointing more up, like a longhorn almost. And so, yeah, this guy, okay, so armed with that information that the hunting outfit provides you, and I'm sure this guy is a wildly experienced hunter. What is the, why are you doing this?
It's the thrill of the hunt. I mean, we're talking to a hunter and a conservationist right now.
Thank
Gordon,
you.
Have you ever seen a Cape buffalo in the wild?
No, I have not seen a Cape buffalo, but I know that that's the, I mean, it's frequently hunted. As far as the big five go, it's one of the ones hunted the most, I believe.
What are the big five?
It's one of the most, elephant, lion, Cape buffalo, rhino, and leopard.
Lobster.
Okay, so help us
no,
out.
No, not lobster.
Help us out, because this guy's catching all sorts of hell, as you can imagine, from animal rights activists.
Yeah, anytime
and all
you
that.
Talk about big game hunting, and especially when you equate it with conservation, then the animal rights activists, they come out of the woodwork and they have nothing but ill will towards you, the hunter.
But why would you go after this particular animal?
Ill will, how are you doing?
Knowing the risks are that high. And if you do that, like, okay, so he's got a family, or he had a wife, ex-wife. He has an ex-wife.
Yeah, and a daughter.
And a daughter. And when you say, hey, I'm going hunting, and you're like, okay, we'll see you later, Daddy. Have fun. Or is it like, kids, I've got something to tell you about this hunt. Like, do you warn them? Like,
no.
You don't?
He's just on another hunt.
But this is like...
They don't know the difference.
But what I'm saying is, this is the ultimate. This is the most dangerous animal to hunt. Outside
no,
of man.
I don't know about that. I think that the... I would say elephant hunting, that would scare me more.
So what is your safari experience? Have you gone on actual hunting safaris, or have you just gone on photo safaris?
I've gone on hunting safaris.
Have you been on photo safaris or just hunting? And what were you
hunting?
Well,
I mean, you do both while you're on.
Right. But I know that there are specific safaris where you don't have a gun, you just have a camera.
Correct. Yes. This one was one that you could have either.
And so how many times have you been, and what have you actually
I've only been bagged? One time hunting in Africa, and we shot an eland, which was some of the best eating I've ever had in my life.
That's what Tiger
and
said.
And I did it for kind of, what's that?
He's what doing a dumb name joke.
You said eland, and you said that's some of the best eating you've ever had. He said that's what Tiger said.
Like,
hey, Tiger.
Yeah, and I did it for this philosophical reason of that I've been a meat eater my whole life, and I've let other people do this dirty work of killing an animal, and I wanted to put myself through the emotional torture of doing that because it felt like it was a little bit more honest than the cows that are raised in those pens where they can't even move and then get the pneumatic spike through the head and then hauled out of there and all that kind of stuff.
So did you make some eland chili?
Made eland steak.
Was it delicious?
We ended up eating eland. We ate zebra. This is all going to sound very fake Nolan Ryan, but it's true. Those were the two main ones that I remember eating. Brother, go ahead.
Oh, did it change your perspective afterwards? And I know that when you've talked about this on the air, you have stirred up a hornet's nest at times. And so have your views on conservation and hunting evolved, or are they the same as they've always been?
Well, I mean, they've evolved, because I used to be like most people and like, I don't understand. It seems like hunting for sport should be wrong. Like, that's an ancient tradition that we need to do away with, because we can just raise them in pens and then just shoot them point blank there, hire someone, you know, who makes $5 an hour to shoot our animals for us, and then we'll go to the grocery store and get it. I used to be one of those people.
Can we circle back?
I thought that was somehow better.
I don't have any knowledge of the Cape buffalo, but when I read this story... I don't understand, like, the details, and I'm curious, Gordon, if you read that story and have any idea.
As far as the attack?
Yeah, like, Even the wording is, he was fatally injured in a sudden and unprovoked attack by an unwounded buffalo he was tracking together with one of our professional hunters and one of our trackers.
I think unprovoked is a poor word choice because tracking him and stalking him is provoking him.
That's what I would think.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yeah, that thing is defending its territory. It's obviously felt crowded and threatened, and that's why it attacked.
So this buffalo turns on this dude and probably starts charging him. He weighs 2,000 pounds, and even if you're emptying a gun into this buffalo, it's not gonna matter in time?
No. And he probably, it sounds like he didn't even have a chance to do that. Like, he turned around and the thing was coming at him, and can you imagine?
That is
so he was on foot stalking this buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine the last 3 seconds, though, as you wheel around and you're like, oh, my God. But the thing is...
He died doing what he loved.
He died doing what he loves, and he knew all these people have to know, like Gordon was saying, that, I mean, this, if it's not the ultimate...
That's what makes it sporting, is that you...
But they have
the
a chance to win, too.
In a free-range place. They should be in a free-range place, not a high-fence place that's very small where they can't retreat. Sometimes you track these things over, I mean, miles, miles and miles and miles, trying to get close to them. They have incredible senses of smell. So it's very hard to get this close as this guy already was to it.
God. No way, not a chance. I'm doing this.
I have another question. Do you think, like, these guys are obviously very, very affluent. They're doing very well financially.
This was like a... $8,000 hunt or something.
Do you ever think a rich guy is there with his buddies and they know what they're getting into, but he's like, yeah, okay, safari in Africa, and has no idea.
No way.
That it's at a level where he could absolutely get run over.
So, like, his buddy that he goes to concerts with?
Like, do they say, look, you could die. I want you to know before you join us on this trip. People can and will die.
I'm sure you have to sign a release.
They would never
with the safari company.
It's one thing to hunt dove. You would never take a buddy who's not gone through something like this before, who wasn't trained or have done extensive background.
How do you train for this?
I don't know, but I mean, the guy's hunted enough to where he's a quote unquote expert, but you do know the bit. Like, you know that there's a chance you're going to die. And when I saw this, I immediately thought of the Norm MacDonald bit that he did on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart concerning this.
I wanted to talk about the crocodile hunter.
Did you?
Because I think...
You're going to make him sad.
Because I think, you know, it was tragic at the time. But I think... I don't know. People call me, man, they're shocked. Oh, hey, you wouldn't believe it. Who got killed? The crocodile hunter.
Please don't make me laugh at this.
He was 44 years old. I'm like, that's a ripe old age for a crocodile.
That's not...
Now, you know who had to be pissed about it were the crocodiles, because he got killed by some fruity fish. So the crocodiles were like, hey, man, that crocodile hunter got killed. Who did it, Frank? Nah, you don't even want to know, man.
Please don't do this anymore.
Bill, man, you had a chance once. The guy go, man, I had a chance. I had that mother... He was Tommy with a stick. I could have eat him and his kid.
I don't feel good about this.
You remember I ever tell you that story, Bill? Yeah, only a thousand times.
Thanks so much.
Ah, Miss Norm.
Yeah.
I know. But again,
so great.
People know what they're getting into.
Yes, they do. And then the unfortunate...
Oh, my God, dude.
...side story to this, that both the ex-wife and the daughter are being tormented because... people have gotten a hold of his social media and are spamming all of his posts because his Instagram is just him with all of his trophy kills. And so all of the fresh comments are heckling him.
Even his daughter.
Dude.
It's unbelievable how sorry people are.
like spiking the football on somebody who died by making sure their family is miserable.
He was cruel to an animal, so they get to be cruel to his daughter.
Like, what is
she's an animal as well,
what
right?
What is the point of that?
I know. It's next level stuff for
the circle
sure.
Circle of violence. But like, we just all need to participate.
The screenshots that people have sent of the pictures of the daughter, the teenage daughter, and
leave her alone.
You know, it'll be like, how's it feel to not have a dad anymore? You know, just stuff like that. And then it's family members going, please stop this. Please. He was a human being. He had family. We loved him. It is so hardcore.
It is very strange how we elevate humans above other animals, and then we also lower them below other animals, just depending on, I guess, the issue or how we feel at that time or what kind of righteous anger we have.
Well, why don't
I don't know why that daughter deserves that.
That's a sad story.
So gross.
Why don't you on Twitch tonight rank the animals?
Interesting. All of them.
Yeah.
Rank the animals. Mm. I do think that we should consider humans. We should preference humans over other animals.
So you'll
That's
rank us
my controversial
number,
opinion.
You'll rank us number one.
Number one.
I will.
We're like the Longhorns.
We've already figured out number one.
He spoiled his list already.
Yeah.
Are you twitching tonight?
I am twitching tonight at 7:35 p.m. twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith. And we'll talk about it.
I love it. I love it. And I love you. Thank you very much, Gordo.
Bye, Gordon.
Thank you, Jordan.
I love you.
There he goes. Our old buddy, the great Gordon Keith, for the rant revival.